Reed's Ranch is proud of Garza and the Garza Law Firm. Basketball is over. It's baseball season. It's porch season. It's sitting by the pool season. Well, not quite yet. It's a little windy right now, but you get the idea. It's drinking season. If you find yourself needing legal representation, trust East Tennessee's best DUI defense lawyer. They handle personal injury. They handle criminal defense. Before you say guilty, say Garza. GarzaLaw.com, where you can contact them. 865-540-8300. You can get in touch with someone 24/7, 366 at GarzaLaw.com or on their phone number. You can chat with someone. Before you say guilty, say Garza. We appreciate Marcos and his team for their support. This episode is pretty sad. Not going to hold you. Pretty frustrated. Pretty upset. Pretty mad. But it's important. Let's have some therapy. Let's go.
I mean, this is the last stand.
You're listening to The Unfiltered.
Well, I hate to say I told you so.
There's nothing to be done besides to get on Twitter and tweet to all my dumbass followers.
But I told you so.
Hey, I told you so.
The controversial.
He's a dumbass.
He can't do math.
He's an idiot.
He gets his haircut at Walmart. Look at that shitty haircut.
The realest podcast in the Southeast.
Let the dogs loose. Let the goons be goons. 11 in a row. 11 in a row. 11 in a row.
Enough.
38 in a row. As in 38 unanswered points when we were whipping that ass.
Ranch Gang, stand up. The holy war is upon us. Welcome to Reed's Ranch, the podcast with Seth Hughes.
Like, just quit acting like this is any fun at all.
Another edition of Reed's Ranch, Tuesday, April 2nd. A somber edition. A not so sweet edition. Wait. A not so final edition of Reed's Ranch. Seth joins me down in Alabama. What's up, buddy?
Not much, John. It's good to see you again. It's good to hear your voice.
I don't have much of a voice left. I've been struggling talking so much after the weekend that was, but yes, it was great to see you on both Saturday and Sunday.
It was good to see everyone. It was good to meet Brother T-Jax. It's good to see Brother Garrick and his lovely fiance, Brother Marwan, Brother Terrell, Marwan's family, his never ending. I have met more of Marwan's family members than I have extended family at this point.
I've spent more time with his extended family than I've spent with my family outside of my immediate family over the last probably 5 years.
Like,
I'll say since my dad died. After his funeral, I've spent more time with Marwan's family, probably.
Brother Fred was his second cousin. I would have to sit and think about who my second cousins are.
I don't even know what it means to be a second cousin. I thought I had an idea of what a second cousin was, but then it turned out to be like your first cousin or your cousin twice removed or some shit. I thought I had a grasp on what a second cousin was, but now I don't understand. Can you please Google it? And we work through this so we can figure out what a second cousin means. Because I used to think
your first cousin's daughter.
Well, that's what I thought, but that's not the case. I lost an argument to a mean woman one time over this, and she got me. It's one of the few times I've lost an argument with a woman, and she got me.
Second cousins share a great grandparent.
Yeah. So like it's way out there. It's way extended.
Yeah.
I thought, like you thought, it was just the kid of your first cousin made them your second cousin. That is not the case. That makes them like your first cousin twice removed or some shit.
The more you know.
Well, I don't know. The more I know, the less I understand, I guess, is how I feel about it. But yes, it was great to see you. At what point, if ever, did you regret going to Detroit?
Never.
Okay, that's good.
Never.
Because you just went up and saw an L.
Yep.
I at least saw the Sweet 16 win against Creighton, which was a really, really fun game to be at. But I'm glad to hear that you never regretted it. And I appreciate that you were up there, balled up, trying to get to a Final Four.
You know, we've talked about this on the podcast before. Like, the losses, you can't think about the money you spend on the losses. I mean, you just can't think about it. Like, I've said for so long, I would be there when Tennessee made a Final Four. And, you know, I hated that it was Easter weekend. I asked my mom if she was going to be mad. She said she told me to go on Wednesday night. So I said, okay, I'm going. And I went, and we lost. We could have won. It was a great game. I thought we were going to win.
Up until what point did you think we were going to win?
I would have to go back and watch the game to when I thought we were going to lose. But when Gainey hit that three, that cut it to one, right?
I believe so. I don't know exactly what point that was, but
when he hit that three, I thought to myself, okay, we are going to win. I don't know what about that three made me think we were, but I was like, okay, we're going to win.
Estrella's alley-oop was my point where I was like, okay, we're going to win. And coming out of the last TV timeout, you know, I kind of lost that faith when they came and scored immediately out of the TV timeout, and we just missed another jumper. And a minute later, they hit the three to go up six and put us to bed.
At that point, I'll say this. When they hit that three to go up six is when I knew that it was done.
Yeah.
When I thought we were going to lose.
Hell of a game, though. And, you know, we were on the verge of something really, really special with Dalton Knecht. And then he ran out of gas down the stretch.
And I will say this, that I thought Barnes was awesome all tournament. JP Estrella played more minutes in the Elite Eight than he played in any single game all season. To have zero hesitation to just bench your all SEC center for the two backups, That takes some balls, even as bad as Adu was playing. I know this sounds dumb, but like, I felt the worst for Tobe and JP, because you could visibly tell how badly they wanted to win, and they gave you everything they had. They gave you everything they had on that court Sunday afternoon.
You could have benched Adu the moment he airballed a 4-foot shot to start the game and gave up an offensive rebound the very next possession.
Yeah.
It was clear he was cooked at that point.
You know, I'm not saying that you can't come back from it, because Virginia and Purdue lost to 16 seeds, and the next year they both, at the very least, made the Final Four. But I don't know how you come back from this three-game stretch that Adu has had.
I'll call it a two-game stretch, because at least he hit the free throws against Texas.
He hit the free throws against Texas. Okay, that's fair. So I don't know how you come back from what he's done in this little stretch, because – he hit those jumpers. I got to where when he would shoot the 12 to 15 foot jumper, I didn't mind it over the season because he made them. And like, if he had just made a couple Sunday, who knows? And he was off. I mean, I don't know how you come back.
Bert and Bob apparently on the radio tried to say that he was under the weather, that maybe Santi had gotten him sick too, because I don't know at what point they said that. I was at the game, obviously. I wasn't listening to the radio, but I was told that Bert and Bob was trying to say that he was sick too.
Well, I'll say this. Santi was really close to me when he did play one time in the game, and I looked at him, and I sat beside a UT fan, and we both said the same thing. He looked like he felt horrible.
Yeah, I mean, he coughed all during warm-ups. The entire warm-up, he was trying to...
He physically looked awful. And I've had the stomach flu. I can't imagine playing. So it's hard for me to believe that Jonas was sick.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't sick for the last month regardless. So, I mean...
Yeah. You know, I thought that I said it a month and a half ago, and we both agreed, like, when Josiah hits his first three, that it's such a good omen for that game. And he comes out and he nails two in a row to start the game. And I know, like, we've seen 5 years of Josiah. Like, he's just not going to go and create his own shot. But, man, I really wish he would have shot the ball more. He started out 3 for 3. I really wish he would have started. I really wish he would have shot out more. That being said, Josiah Jordan James was awesome in the tournament. He was awesome. He was awesome in the tournament. His defense in this tournament was legendary. The performances that he put up on defense were amazing. So I can't really... We know what Josiah is. I just wish he would have shot more. I am still surprised that our guards, namely Zakai and Jamai, did not give them more trouble on defense. Our guards are more athletic than theirs. I am stunned still that we did not wreak havoc on defense with them.
More athletic and more physical.
I am stunned that after all we have seen of Jamai Meshack in the last 2 years, he did not go out and just wreak havoc on defense. And Zakai, too. I mean, Zakai, it had gotten to the point with Zakai where every game you could pencil him in getting 2 or 3 steals that were just like nobody else gets. And he didn't do that Sunday. And, it sucks so bad for Zakai because he was so good this tournament. And he just shot awful on Sunday. And it sucks, man. It really sucks. It makes me sad that it had to be Zakai. He just didn't have it. And it is what it is, man. It is what it is. The only thing that's really made me mad is the media, the willful. I have to think it's willful misinterpretation of what literally everyone, Tennessee fan or not, says about Edie. It's not about the fact that Tennessee fouls him. Tennessee fouled him. Tennessee fouled the hell out of him. They probably got away with some fouls. Fouling him was the right decision. He only shot 14 of 22 from the free throw line. That means you saved 8 points on dunks by fouling him. The issue is that He never got called for a foul except the one time. Now, if you lined up, this is going to be slightly gay, but if you lined up every single scholarship player on both teams without a shirt on, the most physically impressive person on that floor is Josiah Jordan James. He looks like a Greek god. The only time that Zach Edey gets called for a foul is when he shoves him out of bounds.
I like my boys a little beefier. I'd probably go with Awaka, but either way.
Awaka does look like an NFL defensive end. That's the issue. If you get 3 fouls on Zach Edey, the entire tenor of the game changes.
If any other player makes contact with their elbow to people's faces, there's at least a review. There's at least a review, and it was very clear on one of the early rebounds that Josiah fouls Edey, that right before that, Edey drills Awaka in the face on a rebound. And maybe Awaka didn't bitch and moan enough and sell it enough and complain enough. I don't know. But it was something I even noticed at the game because no one talked about it and they never slowed the game down. We just had to watch Zach Edey shoot more free throws.
And the jump ball that Zach Edey clowned.
That's the one that drove me crazy. I was trying not to completely complain about the officiating while at the game because I'm sure Purdue fans would have just laughed at us for complaining, but the jump ball made me lose my mind. It was
a clear foul as he climbs up his body to get to the ball. I'm still not even sure he actually got to the ball for a jump ball, but no, that's the one that drove me crazy.
Yeah, live, that drove me insane. Now, this is not even talking about, I thought that Purdue walked. Did you not think that Edie would travel?
Yeah, no, I tweeted it out the first 3 minutes of the game. I thought Edie got away with the travel and their other big man got away with the travel. And that was just in the first, like, 3 minutes.
Like, Sam Vecenie, or however you say his last name, the basketball writer. I think that's right. You know, he said after the game, he said he watched it. And he's like, he doesn't know what people are complaining about because Tennessee fouled. They're really physical. And I'm like, okay, first of all, that's not what Tennessee fans are complaining about. I have no problem with the fact that we fouled like crazy on Edie. Like I said, you saved 8 points on dunks. Okay, but you can't say in one breath that Tennessee is so physical and then on the other hand, not mention the fact that, oh, by the way, Purdue shot 33 free throws to Tennessee's 11. If Tennessee's so physical, they should be going to the line because they're banging down low.
The stat in the first half that 9 of the 10 starters registered a foul, and the only one that didn't was Zach Edey, was enough to send me over the edge.
I mean, like, what more do you have? He's – now, listen. I know that most people don't watch videos on physics in their spare time like I do, but it doesn't take a physics major to know that a 7'4", 300-pounder, it's physically impossible to not foul.
Just wanted one even questionable call to go against him and in our favor.
Yeah, like I said, if you get 3 fouls on him, the whole tenor of the game changes. The whole tenor of the game changes. That's it. Whatever, man. It's unfortunate. It's really unfortunate that the referees in an Elite Eight game, and this was a Final Four game. Tennessee is, at worst, as of this recording, the third best team in college basketball. At worst, they're the third best team in college basketball. Jamal Shedd is hurt. They were better than North Carolina. They were better than Arizona and Iowa State. Like, it's a real shame that in this heavyweight Final Four type matchup, the referees let themselves be so swayed by the crowd. We should be above that. But they absolutely were so swayed by these dorks that think their team never commits a foul. Tennessee shot 11 free throws to produce 33, and if you polled every single dork in black in that stadium, they would have said Tennessee shot 0 free throws. They are absolutely awful fans. I loathe them. I cannot stand them. They are dorks. They are dorks. And I have nothing but contempt for them. And it would be one thing. At least Tennessee fans could have walked out of that stadium, arena, after that performance saying, okay, like, look, we were playing North Carolina or Kansas or Kentucky or Duke. No wonder the referees were so imbalanced. No wonder it was so biased. We're not a blue blood. And we played this Silver Spoon blue blood team. We were playing a team that has not made a Final Four since 1980. Why do they get such a whistle? The highest draft pick on the court was in orange. We have the second winningest active coach in Division 1A. A man who is universally loved, that everyone talks about as such a stand-up guy. I just don't understand. I'm sad. I am very sad because our guys deserved better. Like, I was so sad for Tobey and JP, and I know that I should be more sad for the other guys, but those two dudes played their hearts out. JP Estrella, you know, JP Estrella played 15 minutes in the Elite Eight against the back-to-back player of the year, the best player in college basketball, and he gave you a chance to win. When he did that alley-oop, you were tied. And it's just like, okay, buckle up. Here we go. They deserved better. It's sad, man. It's sad. And really, the only thing else that I have to add, and this is not my thought, Brother Chris Kilby posted in the Discord, and I thought it was very, I think it's the best thing I've read about it, is that Sunday in this bracket shows you how tragic it is not to take advantage of it when you have a good team and the bracket opens up like it did in 18 and 23. Especially 2018, when you had some real killers on the team. You had to beat a 9 seed in 2018. That was the highest seed you were going to have to beat to go to the Final Four. Last year, the highest seed you had to beat to go to the Final Four was a 4, and you got them out of the way in the second round. A 5, and you got them out of the way in the second round. It's a shame. It's sad. But two times under Barnes, the bracket has totally just opened up, and neither time the team has taken advantage of it. And this year, the bracket did not open up, and you played the best basketball that you've played in the tournament under Barnes. You played well all 3 games, and you played really well in the Sweet 16 and the Elite 8. And in those 2 games, your star showed up. There are 0 questions about Dalton Connect on the biggest stage anymore. We had some questions about it after Maui. We had some questions about it after the Mississippi State game. But Dalton Connect came out there and he balled his ass off for 2 games. He's a warrior. He's a monster. He deserved better. It's a shame we only got him at UT for 1 year. It's a shame that we can never see Josiah Jordan James and Santi play for UT again. And it's a shame that Zakai, who the heart and soul of the team, was a maestro against Creighton, awesome against Texas. It's a shame that he shot 1 of 8 from 3.
It's a shame we only had like 3,000 fans show up to do that too.
Yeah.
To see that, and to, you asked, you know, why Purdue got treated like a blue blood, and Houston fans bullied the refs. They were loud. That's about as loud as a basketball game as I've ever been to.
It was
loud. Dorks. They're dorks, but they were screaming.
It reminded me of the 2018 SEC Tournament Championship game against Kentucky in St. Louis.
Yeah. I mean, we're a football program that went to play a basketball program, and that's what happened. It's a shame that more people weren't there to help try to even it out, because you mentioned all the guys who deserve better. You mentioned Dalton Connect. You mentioned Rick Barnes. You mentioned the program that's never gotten to a Final Four. I really thought I gave Friday a pass because people work, and, you know, Good Friday, if you want to use that excuse, and just wait it out because Tennessee has been to, you know, 10 Sweet 16s. I guess that was their 10th one. You weren't seeing something rare exactly. So I understood people not being there on Friday night at 10 o'clock. I really thought more people were going to make the trip up Saturday, like you did, to be there to try to help and to try to experience and witness history. And Saturday night, it hit me, man. Like, it was 100-1 in almost every bar we were in of Purdue fans. Not a lot of orange at all. And that disappointed me. And that's why the refs got bullied. Not saying that, you know, necessarily you're guaranteed to get a fair whistle if you have an even crowd. But I do know that with a crowd that was 90-10, you didn't get a fair whistle. I do know how it played out with Purdue fans just drowning out Tennessee at every turn. And after every bucket just erupted. I know how it affected Jonas Adu. I know how it affected Zakai. Neither one of those guys were up for it. I thought Zakai looked tight and, you know, pressed and had a really bad game. And, you know, you can argue he's tired. Okay. If you want to argue he's tired and that's why he didn't have any lift on his 3-point shots, okay. He went 2 of 5 from the free throw line because he was tight. He threw one of the worst passes and had, like, I thought, like, if I just went back to one stretch of the game that drove me crazy and that, like, that I feel like we really blew it, was coming out of that timeout up 11 after we'd gone on such a run and the place is going, you know, like Tennessee fans feel like, okay, we got this. We could do this. Dalton is about to have a legendary game. We come out. We give up a very easy layup. Very, very easy layup to go back down 9. Zakai comes down and shoots one of the more ill-timed bad shots that I've seen him make in his career. He airballs it with about 15 seconds of the shot clock. And then, like, you know, a possession or two later, tries to throw a full-court pass all the way down to Dalton. Turns it over. Next thing you know, we got a 5-point lead. If you want to tell me he's gassed and that's why he's missing threes, okay, that's fine. But, like, I thought he was tight and forcing things, which is why he made those mistakes. But, hey, I was intimidated by the crowd, too. They were loud. It was jarring. But, hey, who knows? You know, maybe we'll try again next year or the next year after that with our coach that's about to be 70 that probably has, what, 3-4 years left max? What would you set the over-under at for Barnes' years left? If I set it at 3.5, what are you taking?
Over.
Okay. Not saying you're wrong. I'm not voting one way or the other. I'm just, how many better chances in those 5 years will we have than Sunday to get to the Final Four?
It's hard. It's been exactly 5 years since we had a really, really a top 10 team. So, you know, it seems like it would take another, you know, it just seems like Barnes, his success at UT is really predicated. And I'm not saying this is not a slight. This is how I think you have to do it at UT. It seems like and it's different now with the transfer portal, so it's not a one-to-one comparison, but it seems like his success is best when he gets a freshman class that is really good and he brings them up. And obviously this senior class was different because it wasn't as big as the one that had Bone, Alexander, Grant, and all them together. And it doesn't, so you don't have to have as big of a freshman class. I mean, you've got, you know, so it's hard to say you're because of the transfer portal. I mean, you're obviously not, you struck absolutely, to describe Dalton Connect as striking gold is underselling it. It's understating it. He averaged over 25 a game in SEC play. We might never see that again, period. From anyone. That's such an outrageous number for college basketball. So, It's hard to say that he would. It doesn't seem likely they will have a better chance. I would say no. That doesn't mean that I think we're going to be bad. He's never been worse than a 5 seed in the NCAA tournament.
I think Barnes is at his best right now. You know, like
I think
he's as good as he's ever been. So, like, if he wants to coach 5 more years, then you should expect to be a top 15 team all 5 of those years.
Like, I was thinking about that earlier today. Like, it's a shame to me that the coach he is right now at the time of this recording is not the coach that he was in 2019. Because
I agree.
He's not going to sit Grant at the start of the overtime game. He calls timeouts. Like, you know, we complained for years about calling timeouts. When Creighton went up 4 points, Tennessee was up 29-27, and Creighton went on a 6-0 run. Rick called a timeout immediately. He did not hesitate. Like, Brother Chris Kilby said it again the other night. Barnes was nails in the tournament. He was. Barnes was awesome. This is the best coach that I've ever seen him be. This is the best coach that I've ever seen at UT, period. And it's a shame that he wasn't how he is right now, that he wasn't that way in 2018 and 19. It's a testament to him that he's changed. So I have no issues with it either. And if you asked me next year, I would say I don't think Tennessee will be any worse than a 5 seed. But will they have a better chance in terms of just like pure roster management? And you can't control how the bracket plays out before, you know, like, no, they might get there next year as a 4 seed and the bracket just completely open up and have a better chance to go to the Final Four because in the in the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight that they're having to play double-digit seeds. Who knows? But in terms of just pound-for-pound talent and team going into the tournament, no. I don't see – it seems unlikely.
I'm interested to see the approach in the portal because I don't think they swung necessarily big with Connect. And I just mean by that, like, you know, he was ranked as what, the 34th best transfer portal guy. Now, maybe, you know, maybe some teams that did proper scouting a lot more than the media, but point being either way, like they went to the mid-major level to look for guys. Like they brought in Dalton Connect, probably thinking he could be a rotation guy, borderline starter.
Yeah. What Dalton Connect gave you in points per game is, if I had to guess, I would say they probably thought they would get that with him and Vescovi combined.
I think that's even still high. I mean, maybe they thought, yeah, Vescovi could score 15 points and Dalton could give them 10 or maybe 13 and 12. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know at what point Santi lost his shot in practice. I don't know if he was, you know, looking good in practice and the staff's completely dumbfounded as to why he's not better in games. I don't know. But yeah, like, sure, if you told me that they thought their two and their three guy was going to combine for 25, maybe they would say that was fair. So I'm interested to see what they do. Like, I don't think we're all of a sudden going to start throwing money around and trying to get, like, established Power 5 guys who are just looking for a payday. We'll try to do it again, like, with Ganey and Connect and try to find some undervalued guys at lower levels and hope they can come in here and be good shooters.
And I don't think that's the way to do it.
Which way? Throwing big money around?
Yeah.
No, I agree. No, I don't want to either. No. I don't want to, but like how much different is this team if Connect is a 10 points a game scorer or 12 points a game scorer versus a 25 points a game scorer?
Oh, they're a 4 or 5 seed again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, in defense of that, you know, Santi was a preseason Wooden Award watch list guy. He was on the preseason Wooden Award. Like, nobody... No, and I'm speaking for Rick Barnes here, even though I haven't obviously spoken to him. Nobody thought Santi would...
There's no way to know he would crater the way that he did.
So it's understood, you know, that, you know...
I don't want to spend big money to go get guys. Like, and I don't think Barnes should want to do that either. Like, just because the cost is not almost never going to fit what you're going to have to pay and the sacrifices you're going to ask your own guys to make.
And I think having a team of mercenaries is very bad. I think that you run the risk of doing what Arkansas did this year.
No, I would rather this culture stay together. And, you know, I do wonder how tight the roster is going to be managed and how many dollars they're going to try to squeeze and who's going to ask for what raise and all that. And that's something that I think about a lot during this offseason. Who sticks around? Who wants to go? But I think all in all, the larger point, Seth, is that we both think that pretty much no matter what, as long as Rick Barnes is here, Tennessee is going to be a top 15 team.
And, you know, I will say this about Rick Barnes. The way that he coached this year, I don't think there's a better coach in the SEC right now than Rick Barnes. Now, you can say that you would rather have Oates because he's younger. And Oates had a monster team last year. And I'm not going to argue with that. But... you know, Barnes has been sticking it to Oates lately.
Yeah, and in terms of the matchup and just those two head-to-head, I'll take Tennessee over Alabama pretty much any time that those two are going head-to-head.
And obviously, Nate Oates is awesome. He's been to 3 Sweet 16s in the first 4 years. 5 years, whatever it is. Okay. And he took advantage of what he had this year. If Tennessee had been the 2 seed in that region like they deserved, Tennessee would be playing UConn this weekend. I mentioned that was going to make me angrier than anything else about the seeding weeks ago. And it's total horseshit that we were not the 2 seed in North Carolina's region.
They put us in Detroit because it was closest to us to reward us, and then none of our fans went to the fucking game. Like, now, granted, it was 8 hours. It wasn't very close. I'm not acting like it was, but, like, yes, they didn't put us in L.A. because, like, ah, that's too far to travel. And then they put us somewhere 8 hours, which was apparently too far to travel for a lot of people. So, like, you got fucked on the matchup, and you didn't get any type of reward geographically. So you're right when you say that was what would make you mad. Tennessee lost on both sides of that coin. They didn't have enough fans at the game, and they got a much, much, much tougher matchup. We got fucked. Let's get to some patron questions. Patreon.com/ReedsRanch. Justin Gillespie, a.k.a. my boy Davey, upped his pledge from $5 to $20.
Shout out to Brother Davey. We love you and appreciate you very much.
I do love some Davey. Let's get to some questions.
Brother Dylan, a.k.a. DF, asks, give me next year's starting five, and you better not have Jonas Adu in it.
Are we at that point? Because I know you said it's going to be hard to come back for him. So, like, are we at the point now where we want Jonas to go out like Kamwa?
No. I mean, he'll...
Who do you want to start next year?
Awaka.
Awaka or Adu?
Awaka.
Okay.
Do you not... I mean, who do you want to start?
I think I want Awaka to start. I think if you make the decision to start Awaka, then you lose Adu. But I'd say it's probably like 85% likely that if you make the decision to start Adu, you lose Awaka. Maybe 90%. And I don't want them to start together.
What I want is for Tobe Awaka to learn how not to foul.
And yeah, if he can learn how to not foul, he would be a top five big man in the country next year. And maybe five is putting it lightly.
I want Tobe Awaka to start. Tobe Awaka, to me, is like a perfect college athlete. He carries himself very well off the court. He seems like an amazing person. He gets better his free throw shooting from year one to year two, he improved immensely with his game. He plays his heart out. He plays physical. He's not scared of anyone. You can tell how much he wants to win. I want Tobe Awaka to start. As far as the other, Jemai Meshack is going to start. And other than that, Zakai and Jemai are going to start. And other than that, who knows? Who knows? I mean, I think so you got something with Cam Carr.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think if Tennessee was going to, you know, I said top 15, but if they were going to be like top 10, top 7 or 8, like, that's probably with Cam Carr taking a huge leap, both physically and just basketball IQ.
I mean, I think you got something with Cam Carr. Now, whether that potential is realized, I think you got something with him if you're UT.
Right. And I think you got something with Estrella, obviously. Like, I think Like, if you told me, like, Tennessee rolled with Awaka and Estrella as the two bigs next year.
I'm thinking, who in the SEC has a better front court?
Right.
And I'm saying right now that I don't know who else is in the front court of the SEC teams, but I'm saying they're not better than Awaka and Estrella.
You take that big man duo and... just logically, it's more likely Estrella would be willing to still be that 18 minutes a game backup big than Awaka would be or should be. Like, if I'm Awaka, I'm like, hey, I want to be a starter.
Yeah.
Either I do it at Tennessee or I go do it at St. John's.
Yep.
Problem is, if I'm Jonas Adu, I'm like, hey, I'm a starter. I was an all-SEC player, both by the media and the coaches. They took turns voting me first team. I'm not going to the bench. I do wonder if it's an overreaction to choose Awaka over Adu because of how you know, the rim protection I feel like was pretty good. I'd have to get stats by Will to verify, you know, how big the drop off was when Iwaka was in instead of Jonas. Maybe they didn't drop much at all. I don't know.
You had some serious rim protection on this team when you had Josiah and Jonas out there.
Right. And you're going to lose Josiah. And, like, I don't know if I want Meshack in that Josiah role, you know, of playing the four, because I think his best attribute and, you know, what he gives credit for his turnaround and getting back out on the floor was, hey, coach, let me guard guards. That's the best thing I do.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I want him banging around with undersized fours or trying to guard fives. Like, I don't want that. I know he did good against Kalkbrenner in a pinch, but, like, I want him and Zakai just absolutely hounding.
Yep.
Guards next year. If you could pick a solid small ball four or a solid wing three, what would you rather have in the portal?
Wing three.
See, I think we need a four that can play. Obviously not going to be a Josiah type, but if you can find somebody like 75% as good as Josiah. 80% is good at doing all the things. I think that's maybe more important for the roster. Because otherwise, I don't know who you're going to play at the four. Like, if you told me we ran a wing slash guard like platoon of Zakai, Meshack, Gainey, Carr. Even, I mean, I think DeLeon's going to leave, but, like, if you tell me those four guys were your three, you know, three, two, and one, I think I live with that if you have a pretty solid four. I don't know. It'll be interesting. So your starting five is what? Friend of the podcast, Grant Ramey, said Zakai, Gainey, Transfer Portal, Meshack, and Jonas. That was his prediction.
Maybe. I don't have a huge issue with Gainey's minutes going up significantly.
I don't either. I'd probably prefer him off the bench, but I have no issue if he's starting. Like, if you told me him and Cam Carr just rotated at the two, I'm okay with that.
Gainey's a lot better on defense than, well, for sure anyone ever thought he was going to be. And
he's a dog.
Yeah. I agree. I have no issue at all with him. I like his game. I like the way he plays.
The shooting has to get better, though.
The shooting has to get better.
Because if he's going to be in the shooting role, which he thinks he is, he can't be out there shooting 28%.
Yeah.
Like, him and Meshack cannot be out there shooting and be like the guys responsible for stretching the court. Next question.
Brother Panderson asks, do you expect to see a football or basketball championship in your lifetime?
He said or and?
Or.
We're talking national championships, obviously. Do I expect to? I'll say yes. I wouldn't be so into this if I didn't expect at least one of those to break through. Agree or disagree? Oh, God.
I'll be honest, I don't even think about national titles. The only sport right now that I think about national, I think about, here's what I think about. With Nico, I think about getting to the playoffs the next 2 years. And I would say that's probably putting it lightly. I think Tennessee should win a playoff game with Nico as their starter. With basketball, I think about the Final Four. With baseball, with Tony, I do think about winning a national title, even though that is probably the hardest one to win with all the variants going into Omaha. So I don't even think about national titles. I thought about, you know, with this basketball team, I thought that you should win the regular season SEC title. You are without question the best team. They did. And I thought about the Final Four.
came up just a little short from that Final Four. The thing about that is if you had made the Final Four this year and got to play NC State, you would have been 40 minutes away.
Yep. I mean, Sunday, it sucks. Sunday was a Final Four game, both in terms of how good the game was. It was two heavyweights. It was the two best players in college basketball, and in terms of what it actually meant.
So do you expect to win a championship or not? I know you say you don't think about it, but do you expect to?
No.
Neither one. Neither sport.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, I guess I'm 34 now, so who knows how many years I have left. It's been how many years since our football national championship? Do the math for me. 24. Is that 20?
Yeah.
Well, 26, right? But either way. 98, 2004, 99, either way, 25, 24, whatever. So if I lived another 24 years, I'd be, what, 58?
I mean, I will say this. I told this to Brother AJ walking into the stadium. Shout out to him. Getting to see him again. I mean, I told him walking into the arena that, I mean, I fully expect Tennessee to make a Final Four in my lifetime. Like, I don't have... Tennessee's going to make a Final Four in my life. I don't know when it's going to happen. I am convinced to the fiber of my being that if you get to the second weekend over and over and over again, things will go your way eventually. And, you know, that's just what I believe.
I like the optimism. I'll say yes, Panderson. I expect to win at least one. Although I am getting older.
Brother Big Orange Rhino says, first off, a statement. I love you both. Thank you both for everything you gentlemen do and who you are. Rhino.
Love you, Rhino.
We love you, and you are a tremendous human being. I'm thankful to know you. Secondly, a question for both. Where does the Creighton win rank in your favorite Tennessee basketball wins?
It's number two for me.
Behind Memphis?
No, behind Ohio State.
Okay.
Getting to the first Elite Eight, and I was just in college. We had a big party. It was a great night. It was a fun night. My boy JP Prince coming through and with the big block. Although, honestly, man, like Creighton might be better than that, being there in attendance and just having Dalton connects live up to the hype. And those back-to-back threes when when Creighton had cut it to three twice was about as impressive of a stretch as I've ever seen from a Tennessee basketball player. Like, I know the Auburn game was obviously amazing, scoring 25 points in 8 minutes or whatever, but like with all the pressure and all the tension in the arena, for him just to hit those back-to-back threes and keep them 6 points down, that was maybe the best I've ever felt about Tennessee basketball. So to answer your question, Rhino, I don't know if it's number one or number two yet. I'm leaning right now to number one. Where does it rank for you, Seth?
It ranks number one, the 18-0 run. It ranks number one for me.
Yeah, I think I agree.
You know,
I had a great time when we beat Ohio State in 2010, but Friday night was better.
Tennessee showed up in a big-time game against a big-time team, a team that made the Elite Eight last year and returned everyone, was a play away from going to the Final Four a year before. They showed up, and they showed out, and they won, and they, you know, it's number one for me. It was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that was really, really cool.
I don't really want to ask any questions about baseball or football, to be honest.
That's fine. Isn't it kind of shitty that we won two Elite Eight games or won two Sweet 16 games and both of the actual losses are just so excruciating? Does it make it worse that both were so close? Would you have rather just gotten blown out in one of them?
I don't. So what was. Was it worse losing to Purdue with the, you know, the finance LinkedIn professional going off on you, going off on Grant Williams? Or was it worse to lose to Purdue like you did Sunday? Which way was worse?
So which one was worse, losing to Purdue or which and losing this time to Purdue or Grant Williams? Is that what you asked?
Which way was worse, you think?
The way you lost to Grant Williams. Because you were, the stakes weren't quite as high. You know, we desperately wanted to get to an Elite Eight, and who knows what happens there. Like, you would have had Virginia there waiting on you, and who knows if you could have beaten them. But, like, if you go back and watch that game, I don't know when the last time you actually watched it was. I ran through the last little bit of it last week. You're up three with 50 seconds left, and Klein hits that ridiculous step back with Grant just shutting him down.
It's great defense.
But then you come down, you get a bucket, a very clutch bucket. You're up two. You get teased with the out of bounds, and then, of course, you foul. So you think you've lost. You get fortunate that he misses one free throw, so you're like, okay, overtime. And then, yeah, you just never really put up a fight in overtime. They just kind of come out, and they just beat you, and to me, to feel like you've won it twice, that's going to hurt more.
Yeah.
But then when you weigh the final four on the line, I don't know, maybe it's the same. I fucking hate Purdue, though. When you call them dorks, you are correct. They have entered my top three hated fan bases. They are top three rival to me. I'm not asking for a cosign. People might think I'm crazy there. I don't care. They are a top three rival for me now.
I mean, it's bad for my brand because I've spent years, literal years on this podcast, castigating Big Ten basketball.
It's very bad for your brand.
And I don't care. I'm correct about Big Ten basketball. And thank goodness they're not going to be on ESPN anymore. But it's bad for my brand. That's all I have.
They rubbed your face in it. They rubbed your face in it in person.
You know, I mean, I don't give a shit about the Music City Bowl. Who cares? To have the LinkedIn finance guy go off on your first round draft pick like that. To have to listen to their fans act with just incredulity at the small number of fouls they committed.
They've handed me two of the most hurtful losses of my sports career.
To have to see Josiah Jordan James break down in tears at the podium.
I didn't watch that. You're a better man than me. When my team wins, I want all the content. When my team loses, I don't really want any content. They've given me two of maybe my five worst losses of my sports life. They are a top three op to me.
I love you. It was great to see you.
Great to see you. I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Later, buddy.
Little nigga, I don't roam, better watch your tone. You say you talking to who? Make a nigga slow his roll like he talking to screw. Pull up, lamb, trump, hot truck, make a yellow bitch choose. Young crib nigga got rich, all blues. Sip syrup, hot purr, got pink, got blues. I be on lean like fat nigga shoes. Catch me on lean like a nigga with no knees. Op nigga weak, wanna beat by the freak. Make the bitch eat my meat, drink skeet like protein. Trigger max, OC, Mexican, OT. Size out pounds of the law, get him OT. Drank by the case, took a pint to the face. Like PDD makes remix with the codeine. Sure, K-roll to a lame-o, he gon' OD. Big worm, I'ma stand firm if you owe me. Get smoke like smoking, no plan. And they force poke, catch a plate like Randy. Hop over chrome, coming down, drip candy.
Hollow down Yellowstone with a yellow bone. I'ma leave her cheeks real sand. Bought a bill with a tool, put a nigga in a tune. I don't watch cartoons, no Billy and Man. Little nigga, I'm grown, better watch your tongue. You say you talking to who? Make a nigga slow his road like he talking to Screw.
Little buddy, I'm grown, better watch your tone. You say you talking to who? Choke his ass till his eyes pop out and his face turning blue. Pull a bullet in the pot, we gon' cook it like stew. I be high like the socks on the ground and fool. Henny man, they walk around with a bag full of tools. Long horns on the kettle like a mind on a boo. Rip a wood grain, sitting on alligator. Candy paint sticky looking like nine later. Country grandma, smooth mouth operator. She ain't fucking with you cause she like him player. Hey, shit, chains on the south side. Rip a brown prize, sit it at it. I drop in the gas, put the shop on y'all block, bust it down like a patty. Like TVs with no connection, I got steady. Make his body spit some red like a double cup. Pull the clip out the gun, tip, butter, knuckle. Look, try to kill me, but them bullets was not enough. I ain't mean to beat him up, I was playing real. Trigger Max, old babe, guard, going A-wall. Put your brains on the wall. Personification, what it called? Killing, no hesitation. One
pull up, lamb, Trump, hot truck, make a yellow bitch choose. Young crib nigga got rich off blues. Sip syrup, hot purr, got pink, got blues. I be on lean like fat nigga shoes. Catch me on lean like a nigga with no knees. Hot nigga weak, wanna beat by the freak. Make the bitch keep my meat, drink skeet like protein. Trigger Max, OC, Mexican, OT. Size out pounds of the law, get them OT. Drank by the case, took a pint to the face. Like PDD makes remix with the codeine. Sure, K-roll to a lame-o, he gon' OD. Big worm, I'ma stand firm if you owe me. Get smoke like smoking, no plan. And they force poke, catch a play like Randy. Hop over chrome, coming down, drip candy. Wide body, I'm swinging and banging with angles. Play with her clit, then she suck on my fingers. That's the hoe to my Chris, me and gang, we gon' bang her. Freaky little bitch, she take dick in her anal. Out of town, trip stuff, zips in her anal. Once she bring the weed bag, then she get tea bag. Dick in her throat, I send over it, dangle. Codeine drank her. Double cupped up on the mud like quicksand. The bars on my lean, on lean like a kickstand. I'm an A-sound text, but we bar no plicks. Second like DX. My boss like Vince McMahon. Orange out of raw, got blue vibe in. Throw her down, set hood in the three-point stand. Like an auto, but when she on my boss, I'll use two hands. Nigga, don't say trip, we'll kill your man. Make a nigga set dip like killer can. No picking, choose, catch a op like Pikachu. Get dropped like a dude. Little nigga, I'm grown, better watch your tone. You say you talking to who? Make a nigga slow his road like he talking to Screw.
Pull up, now Trump, pop, Trump, nigga, yeah, bitch, choose. Young crib, nigga, got rich, I'm losing. Sir, pop, purr, got pink, got blues. I be on lean like fat nigga shoes. Catch me on lean like a nigga with no knee. Hot nigga weak, wanna be by the free. Make the bitch eat my meat, drink ski like protein. Chill him at SoC, Mexican, OT. Size out pounds of the law, get him OT. Drank by the case, took a pint to the face. Like PDD, Mace, remix with the cold. K-roll to a lame boy, he gon' OD. Big worm, I'm still firm if you owe me. Smoke like smoking, no plan. And they force poke, kids you play like Randy. Alcohol for chrome, coming down, drip candy.